How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for details.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, and we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I'm being joined by super producer and host Dave Shepard. And you, yeah, you listening. You at work, you at home, you at school. I don't know, none of my business, but thank you for being here. If you want to talk to me, we got a phone number. It's connected to multiple lines. It's 855-212-4CBS. It's Thursday night. By the time I shut up on the East Coast, it's going to be Friday. And if you're on the West Coast, I'll get you closer to Friday. Right now, Thursday night football. Tennessee Titans are beating the Packers at home. At Lambeau. 27-17. It's 5.5 minutes left in the game. The Green Bay Packers are on their way. Unless there is some type of miraculous comeback, of which there is still time. We've seen blocked kicks and missed point after attempts and a little bit of snow. You never know. But the Packers might fall to 4-7. And, I thought that they were potentially on their way to going streaking, but no. Maybe going in the opposite direction. The Packers are looking 4-7 in the face. And the Tennessee Titans, they do this every year. If they win this game, they're going to go 7-3. And the Tennessee Titans is like the same thing every season, except for this year. The defense has been performing better, but all their guys are basically hurt tonight. Two interesting teams. The Tennessee Titans might as well be known as the Derrick Henrys and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Well, I'm not rooting against the Packers. I like them. I'm okay with Aaron Rodgers stinking the joint up. I'm okay with the team crumbling around him. But we'll talk about that as the game continues and moves on. 855-212-4CBS opened up the show sharing with you some amazing news. Paul Goldschmidt is your National League MVP. Aaron Judge is your American League MVP. We talked about Bryce Harper. No idea when this man is going to return. He's going to need elbow surgery. He might miss all of next year. We got word that Kyrie Irving, who's missed 8 consecutive games, including tonight, the Brooklyn Nets are taking on the Trailblazers this very moment. Kyrie Irving might be back as soon as this Sunday in Brooklyn against the Memphis Grizzlies. And then for whatever reason, before we went to break, I was asked about Daniel Jones of the New York Giants. That was kind of out of left field. Is he the future quarterback for the Giants? Do the Giants want him to be their future quarterback? Probably not. They stuck with him, though. The biggest and best free agent is Jimmy Garoppolo. New York Giants are going to swap out Daniel Jones for Jimmy G? No. Giants are better off trying to keep Daniel Jones on a cost-effective low-risk contract for the next, I don't know, two seasons and see if they can improve at the quarterback position some type of way between now and then and just continue building out the roster. Daniel Jones is a middle-of-the-road QB. And it's not just because he doesn't have weapons. He's okay by himself. Doesn't matter who's around him. You don't always need to look at the talent to look at an individual skill set. And Daniel Jones, he's good. He's okay. He's athletic. He can run. I saw a clip the other day of Saquon Barkley talking to him in the huddle. He called him Vanilla Vic. I don't know about that now. The last time I saw Daniel Jones go out on a ridiculous run, he basically tripped over his own feet. He's okay, though. Kudos to Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, too. I do want to go here. Because although we talked about Kyrie Irving and how ridiculous and terrible that the Nets look and it's only a matter of time, are people paying attention to the Celtics? Is it too early in the season to see what they are doing without being at full strength? Is it too soon to look at the Celtics and go, well, damn, y'all are just wiping everybody out, and Robert Williams hasn't played. I don't know when he'll ever play consistently. Danilo Gallinari, they signed him to a contract, and he immediately, you know, blew out his knee playing in Eurobasket in Europe. But they are lighting everybody up. The Boston Celtics are number one in scoring. 120 points per game. They are lighting everybody up from three. Go ahead, ask the Atlanta Hawks. They just torched them in Georgia a couple of nights ago. And this is what happens when you come off of a championship. The Celtics have won eight consecutive games. They want more. Vegas right now has Jason Tatum as the leader for a potential MVP award. And yeah, it's only 15 games. I could have told you that at the conclusion of last year, where he didn't have the greatest of finals, where he got to the finals and it was a wake-up call. But this year, this season, right now, Jason Tatum is averaging 31 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 4 assists, which is crazy for him, 1.5 blocks, a steal. He's playing 37 minutes and is only committing 2 turnovers. He's shooting 36% from deep, 87% from the free throw line. And for a man who's taking 20 shots a game, including 10 of those attempts being threes, he's shooting 48% from the field. What are we doing here? I can look at Victor Wembanyama and I say to myself, what is he, a creative player? These numbers by Jason Tatum are obnoxious. If the Celtics continue on this type of role, number one in offense, if they continue to get better on D, if Williams comes back, they are whooping ass, man. We might as well pencil in them, I believe, and then also the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. This is a nice turnaround. That Kyrie Irving guy that we just talked about, remember he actually played on this team? Don't you think those guys are thrilled and glad that he's not there anymore? And let's not forget this as well. The Boston Celtics went to the NBA Finals last year. They lost. They ran into a team that has oh so much experience, but then also sucks right now in Golden State. And they performed terribly. Tatum was awful. And then you go through the offseason, and then we all have to blink, and then, whoa, what's this? Ime Udoka did what? He's sleeping with a subordinate? They told him to stop, and now he's been given the boot. And who's taking over? Joma what? Joe Mazzulla? And Joe Mazzulla takes over. And it's like they haven't missed a beat, haven't missed a step. Their defense can stand to improve. It's likely to happen. Last year, they were ranked number one in defense, 12th in offense. This year, number one in offense and 15th in defense, but it's still early in the season, and they ain't got necessarily a gigantic big man as a rim protector right now. The Celtics are rolling with a rookie head coach who's also the youngest head coach in the NBA. And they're bombs away, lighting everybody up from three, leading the NBA in threes. And even though they just lit up the Hawks, Joe Mazzulla, he spoke to the media and said, listen, we ain't just paying attention to the scoreboard. A matter of fact, listen to what Joe Mazzulla said after they beat up on them Hawks.
I was upset after some of the wins, and I was happy after one of the losses. And so I think it's more about, are we executing? Are we focused on the right things? And are we getting better every single day?
This is the part about the NBA season where you just have to, you have to accept things for what they are. Because I just want to fast forward. There's so many stories that I just, yeah, we have to wait to see them play out. But unless there's a catastrophic injury, I know the Celtics are going to be in the playoffs. I know they're going to be a threat. I know nobody in the East wants to see them. And there's a good chance that they would pretty much rip every or anybody to shreds outside of maybe the other team I mentioned, the Bucks. Cleveland started off hot. Now they've lost five in a row. 76ers, how about this? Of course, James Harden's already missing time. The Miami Heat look like they have aged in just a year. Not just Udonis Haslam, but everybody. And then the Nets are the Nets. Nothing, right? Hawks are not ready. Not enough depth on the team. The Celtics have a great chance to go right back to the finals. And this go-round, they might be able to win it because the team that won the championship last year, God knows if they even go back to the finals. They got to figure out what their depth looks like because they look older. Everybody besides Steph Curry just looks cooked. The Celtics are in a prime position. Jason Tatum. This man is 24 years old. Jaylen Brown, the other wing, and I never thought this combination would work. I thought they'd have to trade one of these dudes. Jaylen Brown from right here in Atlanta, Georgia, he's 26 years old. And they've taken a cue out of what Marcus Smart said last year, and they've passed the ball. They're passing the ball. They are making the team better. All these other dudes on the team, they don't have to do nothing but get in the right spot and shoot the ball. Something that Ben Simmons is allergic to. So the Boston Celtics, yeah, they're the best team in the East right now. I think they're also performing at this moment as the best team in the NBA. There's a whole lot of time between now and March, April, May, and June. But they're going to be there at the end. And it's just, it's a little surprising. Maybe they've rallied around Joe Mazzulla following, you know, Ime Udoka and his situation. Maybe they're hungry from last year, or tasting the defeat. I want to fast forward. I want to see Chris Middleton come back. I want to see who gets traded from Brooklyn. I want to see if Ben Simmons can round into form. I want to see what type of form James Harden will be in besides round. Hey, Shep, when James Harden comes back, is he going to be fat again?
No, I think he's. I think he turned the page a little bit this season, JR, to be honest with you. You know, it's funny. He was actually their best player when he was on the floor.
Yeah, he was.
That's saying something. You know who else is on the floor with them? Mr. 59-point effort with no sweat.
Well, he also needs to lose weight, but he can't.
Yeah.
What is Joel Embiid eating? He can't eat just salads all day?
I mean, I don't know most people in their 20s that are complacent just having salad, in fairness to Joel.
Well, didn't he say something one time about liking Wendy's or something?
There's a lot of people that say a lot of things. He's in his 20s, and if he's eating Wendy's, I can't blame the guy.
Yeah, but you heard what Carl Anthony Towns said about Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah.
He's eating Popeyes. You just can't run around eating Popeyes. He's a world-class athlete.
Yeah, I'm sure that really went over well with Ant-Man, by the way.
Him calling out basically
the team's future.
But James Harden, he got a busted foot. What do you think he's doing?
Maybe thinking of ways he chokes in the playoffs again. Who knows?
Yeah, well,
maybe thinking about another Kardashian.
While eating donuts and Twinkies, and maybe his boot is up in a strip club right now. I don't know.
Maybe he's channeling his inner Aaron Rodgers and trying to figure out who to point the finger at next. Everyone but himself.
Uh-oh. What is Aaron Rodgers? So, by the way, folks, there's now less than 2 minutes left in the game. There's no time here, really.
Oh, it's over. They got no timeouts left, the Packers.
Yeah, I know. They got nothing. Aaron Rodgers is on the bench. It's 27-17. Aaron Rodgers looks frozen, with good reason. What does he say tonight? There's still time? Is that what he's going to say?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be 4-7. They're basically going to be all but eliminated, essentially.
But he's going to say there's still time, right?
Well,
or is he going to diss somebody? What are the odds? Does he diss does Aaron Rodgers, let's see, because we're going to hear from him.
Yes.
In less than an hour, in an hour's time, we're going to hear from him.
Yes.
Is he going to take the position of, we still have time, we need to do better? Or is he going to say, man, we suck? Which one is it?
So he's not going to pull the relax, because he can't do that right now with his contract, $50 million a year at 4-7. He's gonna find a way to put the onus on someone else. Yeah, that's his MO.
No, I've heard Aaron Rodgers say it's me. It's my fault. I've heard it intimately.
When?
I can't tell you exactly when, but he said it.
Gotcha. Because you know the sound you played last night was a compilation of multiple press conferences of him throwing younger guys under the bus when it wasn't even a question. You know. Being asked to him. It was just him volunteering it, him soliciting it himself.
Not tonight.
Yeah.
Not tonight. Aaron Rodgers is going to, let me see, 27-17. He's going to take the we all can do better approach, I believe. Let's mark this. I'm sticking to this. Let's see if I'm right or wrong. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to take the we can all do better approach. He's going to say, we suck. We can all do better. We still have time. That's why you play the game.
You know what he should say, JR? Is he got outplayed by an average at best quarterback in Ryan Tannehill? He got outplayed in his building. It's plain and simple.
He's not going to say that. He's not going to say anything about Tannehill.
He got outplayed by him. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. But he's not going to. Why would he say that?
Well, that's what he should say.
Oh, he's
Jared. He was. I mean, I know there were a couple drop balls, but he was missing by. I'm not talking inches. I'm not even talking feet. I'm talking yards. He was missing receivers badly this game.
For Aaron Rodgers to even mention the name of Ryan Tannehill, Aaron Rodgers probably even finds that insulting to even utter the man's name.
I think Packers fans find it even more insulting that he's 4-7 making $50 million a year.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why we put him on the list last night. Worst contracts, one of the worst contracts? Well, let's see how miserable he sounds. He is he looks miserable, but that's his normal face. And he was certainly just, you know, greeting some of the opposition on the way off of the field. Here's the final score, folks. The Tennessee Titans. They beat the Green Bay Packers 27-17. That is your final score. The Green Bay Packers were basically on a chase all night long. Tennessee scored on the opening drive. And that's pretty much it. The Packers never led in this game, and the Tennessee Titans just, they played a game of catch-up. And Green Bay couldn't catch them at all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to talk about this game. As the media starts asking the players questions, as the players start speaking to the media, we'll obviously share that with you. We'll get you some stats and some numbers for the game. And then also, when we come back, I do want to tell you about another team with its own quarterback issues. That happens to be the Colts. And not just quarterback issues. It looks like there might be an investigation getting ready to get started on how Jeff Saturday got his job. Are you really surprised? And does anyone really even care? We'll talk about all of this in detail. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
First time caller and listener, I'm loving the show.
Your show is just absolutely outstanding.
I gotta tell you, I've been listening to you, and I've been feeling and agreeing with your flow.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Thursday night football is a wrap. The Tennessee Titans beat the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau 27-17. Tennessee improves their record to 7-3. Green Bay falls to 4-7. Derrick Henry, what else is new? 28 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown. And then even Ryan Tannehill, what an excellent game. 22 of 27 passes. 333 yards, two touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, 24 of 39 passes, always playing catch-up as the Packers were behind all game. 227 yards and two touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay could only muster 56 yards on the ground. And Christian Watson, I mean, he continues his hot streak. He hauled in both touchdowns from Aaron Rodgers, but I assume he's going to, he being Rodgers, figure out. Well, no, he looked rather docile on the way off the field, so I think he'll maintain that same disposition in the press conference. I can't wait to hear from Aaron Rodgers. Matter of fact, I want you to hear the final play of the game. You know, we'll walk through the full game at the top of the hour. But I want you to listen to this final call via the Titans radio network. The Titans got a hold of the Packers on fourth down, and that was pretty much all that she wrote.
Fourth down and one. Rodgers gets his team on the ball. He stays in the gun. Gonna give it inside to Jones. I don't know. I don't think so. Let's see where they spot it. I don't think he's got this. I do not believe Aaron Jones just picked up the first down. It is not close.
Ha, yeah.
First down Titans at the 44. The boys in blue have held.
Whoa, what a great job by this defense.
Yeah, and it feels like everybody on the defense for Tennessee was pretty much out for tonight, and they still held Green Bay to only 17 points. Yes, Aaron Rodgers, MVP this, MVP that, multiple-time MVP, four-time MVP, all the MVPs. Can't help the Packers right now. They suck. They can't run the ball. They don't have a reliable game-breaking wide receiver. And for all those conversations we had last night where it was, oh, yeah, Odell can come. Is he going to want to go there now? Come on. Does he even want to go play somewhere this damn cold? It was snowing tonight. for a team that's 4-7? Where's that a good idea for a guy trying to compete? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Jeff and a friend, they're calling from in the car. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jeff?
Thank you, sir. Yeah, we're driving in the car. My friend's driving. His name's Todd, and he's a diehard Packer fan, and he wasn't comfortable calling in himself because he's a little shy. But I think Aaron Rodgers has been calling out his team for too long, and he's overthrowing passes, and I think it's Jordan Love era. Do you feel that is the case as well?
I mean, they're paying him $50 million, so I think the answer is no.
Trade him to New Orleans.
Trade him to New Orleans, Tuck says.
Trade what? Trade Aaron Rodgers to New Orleans?
Why not? Matt Ryan got traded, and everyone else wants. They trade for bad quarterbacks all the time.
This man is making more money than any quarterback in NFL history.
Yep.
So you have to keep him because of that?
Yeah. What do you think this is, Madden?
Aaron Rodgers, for sure.
Well, I'm sorry, Jeff and friend. It doesn't work that way. You don't bring this guy in and give him $50 million and think that you're just going to get off the hook. What are you going to trade him for? What is New Orleans going to send back to Green Bay that's going to pacify them? Jameis Winston? The corpse, the football corpse of Andy Dalton? Like, what are they getting back? And why would the Saints want the headache? You know, trades go both ways, right? Like, typically, unless you're getting flim-flammed and it happens, you know, most times you want something good back in return. I don't know about that. I mean, there have been times, and it's been a long time, and I still know the games do this. Like, you can make trades in a video game. You can make a trade in Madden. You can make a trade in, I don't know, what, an NBA 2K. And sometimes, the computer general manager for the other teams, you can propose a trade, and the computer will be like, no. This don't make no damn sense. Why are you trying to trade me, you know, Aaron Rodgers for Ryan Tannehill? The computer will be like, get the hell out of here. What are you doing? Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. And we've heard this before. Like last week. Greg Jennings, former teammate, said, if the Packers are going nowhere at the end of the year, they need to play Jordan Love. They need to see what they can get and what they have in Jordan Love. Leroy Butler, who just tonight went into the Packers Ring of Honor, or whatever they call it in Green Bay, he was on the field tonight. He said, last week and a couple of weeks ago, if the Packers continue to stink, they have to insert Jordan Love at some point just to see what they have at the end of the year. Are you going to keep him for the future? Are you going to trade him for assets? Are you going to try to max out with Aaron Rodgers? That's what they're trying to do. Except for everybody misses the biggest point. Is that Aaron Rodgers was already thinking like 1 foot out the door. And now he's getting $50 million per for the next 3 years? Oh, you stuck with him. You stuck. He's like, he's like something that won't go away. I'll leave it at that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, he just stepped up to the stand. We'll hear from him. I'm certain we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. Ryan Tannehill is also currently speaking to the good folks at Amazon. We're going to talk about this game. What does it mean for the Packers? Not good. What does it mean for the Titans? Always good, but nothing in the playoffs. We'll expand upon this, and then I'll tell you about this investigation of the Indianapolis Colts hiring of Jeff Saturday. We'll do that on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, man. We love you down here in Texas, okay, JR?
Hey, how you doing, man? I love your show. Love the topic.
Thank you. I'll be listening again in the future. This is a great show.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It is the JR Sport Brief show, and Thursday Night Football, it is a wrap. 27-17, the Tennessee Titans beat the Green Bay Packers. The Titans have now improved their record to 7-3. They have won 7 out of their last 8 games. And Green Bay, 4-7. If they legitimately still want a chance to go to the playoffs, if you think that's going to happen, then they're going to have to beat everybody. I mean, everybody. How likely is that based on what we've already seen? Them struggling to score points tonight. They don't muster more than 56 yards on the ground. Aaron Rodgers gets 2 touchdowns out to Christian Watson, and that's it. Trying to play from behind. I mean, even the last several plays or possessions for the Green Bay Packers, it's just they were stopped. They were forced to punt. Aaron Rodgers was sacked. There's no can do. Nothing took place. I'm going to talk more about this at the top of the hour. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, he's speaking with the media right now. I can't wait to hear from Aaron Rodgers. You know, these quarterbacks can be quite dramatic when they speak. I don't know if he's going to start crying like Derek Carr. Derek Carr, man, just a sad, sad, sad man. In a sad, sad situation. We know the Indianapolis Colts beat the Raiders this week. Everybody's looking at head coach McDaniels and going, man, this guy's going to get the boot. He sucked when he was in Denver. He's terrible here. He's telling everybody it's going to take time. And Mark Davis took the approach of Rome wasn't built in a day. Like, oh, okay. I didn't know the NFL was Rome. I didn't know that this was going to take this much time when you signed Davante Adams. You got all these guys, you paying all these dudes on defense, Max Crosby. I didn't know it was going to take all this time. So after all the crying and the boo-hooing and he's so sad about how much work they put in and the sacrifices, how upset he is, into tears. After the vote of confidence from Mark Davis down to Josh McDaniels, Derek Carr spoke to the media again. And this time he says, I'm happy that coach isn't getting a boot.
Just being here, you know, for 9 years and everything that we've all seen and been through and some tragedies and all the stuff, right? You know, I'm so happy to hear that, you know, Mr. Davis feels that way. You know, I'm so happy that, you know, he loves Josh, he loves Dave, he believes him. And it kind of just, like, gave us a breath, like, yes, like, let's just get better. You know, let's work on being a better football team. Let's go try and win all these games. Let's go try and do all that, of course. But let's just be a better football team. And it kind of just let us know that the process, trust that process. Well, there is a process, and we do have time, you know, like during the season right now that we know like who our leader is and we know that we're rolling and that gives us confidence as a football team. So it absolutely, when he came out and did that, it's like, whew, you know, like thank goodness, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh man. Is Derek Carr naive? This man might not stick around. McDaniels might not stick around past this season. What is Derek Carr thinking about? Does he see the owner? Does he see who he is? He saw Mike Mayock on television and hired him. He said, I want that guy to be my GM. And if I'm Derek Carr, I understand. How many more coaches can a guy have? He's gone from Dennis Allen, and before that, Tony Sperano before he got fired, and Jack Del Rio was there, and then he had to deal with Gruden, and after Gruden, Bisaccia took over, and now he got McDaniels. How many more systems is Derek Carr supposed to work in? If you're going to fire somebody, at least do it in the offseason. And then he'll have to pick up another playbook and learn that one. It's just a sad scenario. with the Raiders. 2-7? Whoa. And the team that beat them, the Indianapolis Colts, how much better are they? They're 4-5-1. People are looking at Jeff Saturday trying to figure out how the hell he got his job. And now you even have the Fritz Pollard Alliance, named after the first black head coach in the NFL. They're looking into what the hell happened. They're trying to launch an inquiry as to the hiring process of Jeff Saturday. Even though the NFL's Brian McCarthy, who works in communications at the minute of the hiring, the day of, he says that head coaches, interim head coaches hired in the middle of a season, that they're not subject to the Rooney Rule. That there is no full interview process, and so as a result, a minority candidate doesn't need to be interviewed. Well, I think at this point in time, why are we even still doing this? I get it. It's supposed to help and encourage people, but does it? It's just like checking a box. It's like the honor system. You know, certain cities and countries, they trust that you'll pay your fare to get on the bus. They'll trust that you'll pay your fare to get on the train. You think everybody's doing it? Hell no. They're going to tell you that they did it. They're going to act like they did, but did they know? And so these NFL teams, they're just doing it. They're checking a box with no intention. And so even the thought and the idea that at the end of the year, the Colts are going to go through a hiring process and they're going to interview minority candidates, what good does it make if you already know who you're going to hire? It's one of the reasons that Brian Flores decided to file a lawsuit. Because none of this makes sense. And so Jeff Saturday is out there. He wins his first game. He might win a few more. I mean, the first thing of business that he decided to get into was to put Matt Ryan back on the football field and tell Sam Ellinger, sit down, man. You're not ready. We talked about this last night. Like, Matt Ryan is on his way to the Hall of Fame, whether you like it or not. He's a former MVP. He's going to the Super Bowl. He's played forever. The Indianapolis Colts are so screwed up that they sat this man down, fired Frank Reich, put Ellinger out there to just do nothing. And now Matt Ryan, when he spoke to the media, I want you to hear the question that he was asked and his answer. It was all about his confidence and how he felt about himself.
Did you have any self-doubt that, hey, maybe my career's winding down since they benched you and said you weren't going to play at all again? And here we are.
Yeah, I think that's natural. I think everybody, you know, given that situation, you have periods where you just don't know how things are going to shake out. And that lack of clarity, to me, has always been the hardest thing to deal with. You know, when I know what the goal is, when I know what I'm working towards, it's a lot easier. But when you don't have that, it becomes difficult. But
that's a really good point.
Yeah, for sure. But for me, it was, okay, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Right. So just get back to doing what you always do. Try and be upbeat and positive as best you can and, you know, go to work.
You've been a great role model. Jeff Saturday, why will he succeed as a coach? Why do you think it'll work?
Yeah, I think, you know, number one, he has a great knowledge of this building. You know, playing 13 years here, understanding kind of the ins and outs. There's no learning curve with the equipment staff or the training room staff or the film. You know, he's well known around here. And I think his feel, you know, as a leader, you know, just being around him a short time, he has great passion. He's got a good feel with players too. You know, I think having been a former player, understanding what it looks like winning at the highest level, the accountability that you need, I think those are the things that are going to help him be successful.
Well, damn. What? Hey, Shep, did Matt Ryan help Jeff Saturday fill out his resume?
Well, yeah, you know, as you've alluded to, JR, Jeff Saturday will not read a resume any time soon. We know this is his job to lose, so. And he's not losing it.
He didn't even, you mean to tell me he didn't even submit a resume to Jeff Irsay?
I'm meaning to tell you, in his words, he was shocked, I tell you, about getting this job offer.
Oh, my God.
This wasn't long in the works, you know, from week one or week two when, you know, Irsay was unsure about Reich even last season. Not at all.
Yeah, this has just been a disaster. You know, I got no problem with Jeff Saturday, but what are they gonna? They're gonna interview. They're gonna interview somebody. They're gonna call a black guy and say, "Hey, man, come interview for this job, even though you know you're not gonna get it." Like,
then,
what's
the, yeah? And then Belichick's the point? And then Belichick's gonna text the wrong guy.
Right.
Congratulating the wrong guy. Right.
Congratulations. It's all just backwards, man. It's all backwards. People want a chance and an opportunity. People don't necessarily want a handout. They just want an even chance, and to not even get that is disastrous. NFL's a wild place. People hiring their kids. Sounds like the real world. You got people crying. Sure, it sounds like Derek Carr. And speaking of crying, this will be a lot of fun. Aaron Rodgers just stepped to the podium. Is he going to whine? Is he going to cry? Is he going to pass the blame? Is he going to blame himself? I know what he's not going to do. He's not going to sit up there like Derek Carr and start crying, talking to everyone how emotional he is. I don't know what he just said. I'm watching here in the studio. He just shrugged his shoulders and looked at the reporter. I can imagine what this is going to sound like. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Tennessee Titans beat the Green Bay Packers 27-17. Tennessee is 7-3. They're putting together another good season. And the Green Bay Packers, they fall to 4-7. And they're paying Aaron Rodgers $50 million per year. This has to suck. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear some play-by-play from the game. And we're going to hear from some of these players and coaches. Aaron Rodgers is speaking right now. Don't move.
How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov. more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fuel economy.gov for more details.